The Spectator magazine combines incisive political analysis with books and arts reviews of unrivaled authority. Subscribe today for just £12 and receive a 12-week subscription in print and online, plus a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. Is Priti Patel's future in doubt? She's been for some time waiting for the results of an inquiry into whether she bullied staff at the Home Office. We're told that the verdict has come in and it doesn't look good for her. I'm Fraser Nelson and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Katie Bowles. Katie, what do we know?
Well, I don't think the report is great for Priti Patel, but I think that's different to whether her future is looking bright in the Conservative Party and in government. So ultimately, this goes back, and I think we have to rewind our minds to almost pre-coronavirus. In the first few weeks when we were hearing reports of coronavirus in China, some were talking about whether you know it would come here. We had a few cases in the UK. The story that was dominating the news was Priti Patel and the departure of the most senior civil servant in the Home Office, Philip Rutnam. He left in style, giving a statement to the press in which he said that he felt there'd been an orchestrated campaign against him after he had tried to come to the aid of civil servants in the Home Office who had been treated badly by the Home Secretary. There are allegations of bullying and a Cabinet Office investigation began. The conclusion of that report and that report have been completed for some time now, but there's often been questions as to when are we going to find out what's happening. And I think there's a sense that Number 10 and Boris Johnson have sat on the report. Now, yesterday we started getting bits of information from what is in the report leaked. The idea that Priti Patel did breach the ministerial code in terms of her behaviour. However, we're now going to get into the world of she may have breached it, but perhaps not intentionally. We are expecting an announcement from the Prime Minister. But I think anyone who is expecting Boris Johnson to say Priti Patel behaved, you know, very badly, she broke the ministerial code and she should consider her position, you know, is going up the wrong path here. What we have seen is I think anyone who logs onto social media will find is just, you know, every Tory MP practically has taken to social media to wax lyrical about the Home Secretary.
Is that orchestrated, do you think?
I think so, yes. I don't think that they're all just independently thinking to do that. I think a lot of it is genuine. I actually think Priti Patel is very popular amongst lots of different colleagues in the party, but they're all going out there to bat for her. The ministers are going on the radio. You have Matt Hancock this morning speaking praise. I think all the signs are suggesting that, you know, Boris Johnson does not plan to move her right now, and actually she's going to get their full backing. The question is, should she?
Now, James, already we can see ructions here in the Conservative Party. So Alex Allen, who is the Prime Minister's advisor on the ministerial code, I guess it would be his job to argue whether Priti Patel has committed a serious breach or not. He says he's resigned from this role, I guess because of the Prime Minister has already given his backing to Priti Patel. So should we take from this two things? One, that Priti Patel is safe, at least for now. And two, that she is safe in defiance of the finding of this supposed independent report. And the Prime Minister may stand accused of running a sham report if he was never going to abide by its findings.
So yeah, Alex Allen is the government's independent advisor on the ministerial code. The fact he is quitting over Priti Patel not being pushed or falling on her sword is, I think, an indication that even though his report is not a kind of, his report is not a total denunciation. It as Katie says, it says unintentional. It also places some blame on the Home Office for not properly supporting its Secretary of State. But the fact he is going is the most awkward fact for the government, because it's clear that the person who wrote the report thinks that she should go. I mean, the other complicating factor for the government is that this story isn't over. You know, normally you think you ride it out 2 or 3 days of bad press and then off. Because remember, Philip Rutnam, the former Perm Secretary at the Home Office, who, as Katie said, resigned live on national television, which tells you something, I think, about his appetite for publicity. He is determined to take his case to an employment tribunal. And I think, unlike Sonia Khan, he is not going to settle beforehand. I think
because his objective is to hang out with dirty laundry.
I think he feels very strongly that the way he was treated was wrong, and he wishes to expose this in an employment tribunal. And I think that is where things get very awkward. Now, one ally of Priti Patel said to me, in the Home Office, said to me a while back, look, this isn't a court of law, this employment tribunal. You know, the employment tribunal could find that Philip Ruttenham had been unreasonably dismissed, but that wouldn't be a resigning matter because it's not a kind of, it wouldn't be kind of Priti Patel in the dock. But I think all of these things are very difficult to absorb kind of one by one, essentially. But I think that Boris Johnson, it is worth remembering that Priti Patel backed Boris Johnson for the Tory leadership. They are both Brexiteers. They are kind of close allies. They get on with each other. I think Boris Johnson's going to be very, very reluctant to give her up. I think he very much likes the idea of, you know, as he puts it, you know, stick with Prit. But I think that this is not...
Is that one of those phrases? I hadn't heard that. Stick with Prit.
Yeah.
Like Prit stick, but turned around a bit.
Yes, indeed.
Right, watch out.
Where does he use this logo?
Oh, he's used that like in response to various questions about her future in the past.
It seems to rather prejudge the outcome of the inquiry.
Yeah. One might say that. But I think the point is that the government is going to take a bit of pain today, but there's obviously more pain coming down the line.
Right. Now, talking of pain, Katie, it seems pretty likely that this is going to get a lot worse for the Conservatives over the next few days. When the report comes out, there are going to be detailed allegations. But I suppose what the Tories are thinking is, look, this, it could be argued, look, this is simply a who governs question. If we set a precedent here that the Prime Minister will have to fire ministers if the civil servants complain about bullying, because bullying is quite subjective. I mean, sure, there's never any justification for bullying, but it's pretty hard to define. Now, given that the Home Office brought us the Windrush scandal, where its civil servants, through their own unthinkingness, ended up deporting in a completely indefensible way, or threatening to deport, like people who'd been lived here all their lives. And Amber Rudd was kicked out as Home Secretary, had to resign because she wasn't asking enough difficult questions of the Home Office. It was a rare example of somebody who quit her job because of what she didn't do rather than what she did. And what she didn't do was cause enough trouble with the Home Office civil servants finding out what they'd been doing with Windrush. So in that context, you're going to get Priti Patel, who's going to be quite demanding, finding out what's going on in this notorious department. I remember when John Reid was Home Secretary, he told me once that he knows that there are lots of people doing things which could end your career at any one time. So of course you're going to be asking tough, demanding questions. You might not always be diplomatic. So is it the case now that the government's thinking to themselves, well, if we let Priti Patel go, that means any civil servant who in future accuses a government minister of bullying has effectively got power to sack the government minister when it really should be the other way around?
Well, we know this government, when it thinks about the civil service, thinks there's a lot that can be improved. I think that some of these things, such as the Priti Patel case, is a little bit independent than general civil service reform because it's allegations of bullying. I think if you look back to Windrush, I think blame can be apportioned probably all across the Home Office, ministers and civil servants, in terms of the handling of that. But I think there's a wider point here, which is ultimately, this government is always accused of U-turning. I think there's much evidence that it U-turns, but it's U-turns around policy. When it comes to personnel, perhaps, you know, past week aside, they tend to really stick with their people, particularly on ministers. So we have had plenty of situations where a policy position changes several times in a week. But when it comes to ministers under fire, so Robert Jenrick, if you think about, back to the scandal involving Richard Desmond, which ran on for days, if you think about cabinet ministers and allegations, then I think there is a strong sense that Boris Johnson likes to stick to people. I mean, it's been described to me that he has a bit of a wounded bird syndrome. If he sees an underdog or someone, you know, underperforming, he feels an urge to often protect them rather than show them the door. So I think that it's not just about, I suppose, civil service and let's say, I think Boris Johnson as a prime minister is quite reluctant to, you know, be the harsh person when it comes to decisions like that, not just because of ganging up, but also, loads around him and say, you know, well, if you tell him someone has done X, such as, you know, misbehaved, leaked, or, you know, just performed very badly, he'll often be the person trying to come to that person's defence, perhaps because in the past his behaviour hasn't been exactly perfect at all times.
So, James, do you think what we might end up seeing is the Prime Minister sticking with Prit for now, but then shuffling her in his next cabinet reshuffle, which might come in January?
I think he will be reluctant to move her from the Home Office.
Even in the next reshuffle?
Yes, because you've got to understand where Priti Patel kind of sits in the Tory party, which is Priti Patel is MP for an Essex seat. She is seen as being very tough on immigration. And I think in some ways, you know, for example, this small boats issue that Nigel Farage, you know, people crossing the channel, Nigel Farage has spent so much time drawing attention to. I think there is a feeling at the top of the Tory party that this issue would be causing more problems for the government if it wasn't for the credibility that Priti Patel is seen as having on the right of politics in terms of dealing with it. Now, but I think there is also obviously a longer term question, which, you know, which we can get, which you got into the other day, which is if you want to revert to kind of cabinet government, do you need to kind of bring in more ministerial experience into some of these big departments?
All right. And Katie, apart from the bullying, is Priti Patel regarded as a competent minister? I have to say that I remember last summer I did a cover story when I was worried that the scheme to give EU nationals permanent right to remain was going wrong. Now, I have to say, if I was to do a follow-up to that, I would say I was actually wrong to be worried. It went very, very well. We seem to have been able to process millions of applications quite seamlessly. She seems to have done a reasonable job so far, but am I being too kind?
No, I think there's always whispers, you know, about how Priti Patel needs help and things, but you've got to take some of these things with a pinch of salt. I think that if you look, however, back to the past reshuffle, Priti Patel stayed in position, but they moved some of the advisors around her. And I think there was a sense that when it comes to her junior ministers, people think she has quite heavyweight junior ministers, but that's partly because the Home Office, as you say, is such a difficult brief. You need to have a really strong department because it is just so wide-ranging. I think lots of Home Secretaries struggle to have a long period there. So I think the fact that she is still there, the fact that when it comes to policy issues, there haven't been as many issues as there might have been, does suggest that I think she is doing a good job in some eyes. So definitely naysayers. But I think in terms of Priti Patel and her position, it's something that James touches on. She is seen as really politically important in terms of the message Boris Johnson is trying to project. And I think that if you're looking at these red wall voters who keep being discussed at the moment in relation to, you know, how they will react to the environment push and so forth. In the election, Priti Patel was seen as a really important signal to send to people that they are tough on immigration and so forth. And therefore, I think any act to move Priti Patel away from that brief would add to the sense, which is strongly denied by some in government, that the party is diluting its message and moving to a more kind of a North and South, perhaps don't call it Cameroonism, but lots of MPs will call it behind their back type of party.
Katie and James, thanks very much. And thanks to you for listening, and thanks to our producer, Cindy Yu.